At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So we're going to review before we get to where we are in the second half of 1 Samuel 30. But I want you to remember, David's in his mid-20s, somewhere in there, maybe around 26-ish. At this time, he's been running from Saul for 4 years, so that ought to tell you how young he was when he started running. He's fled to Gath this time for the second time, and King Achish, who accepts him, he lives there in Gath for 16 months. Achish gives him the city of Ziklag, and he's there in Philistines' territory for a total of 4 years. He lies while there about raiding Jewish towns. He's actually raiding other groups of people, but he tells King Achish he's raiding Israeli villages, okay? And during this time, these 4 years in the enemy territory, David does not write a single psalm. So the Philistines at this point, chapter 28, gather to attack Israel. David's now entrapped by his own lying because King Achish says, "Hey, come along with us. We're attacking Israelite cities too." So he's caught. He's traveling with them. They're actually trying to go up north to Jezreel to flank Saul's army, by the way. We'll talk about that in chapter 31. In the meanwhile, Saul gathers his army and then seeks God. God does not answer. And he goes to what is traditionally called the witch of Endor, or the medium, if you remember, at Endor to look for advice. And there, and somebody brought this to my attention last week, supposedly calls up Samuel, which I suggest to you is not Samuel at all. One of the reasons is that supposed Samuel says this to Saul, you're going to get killed and you're going to be where I am. And Samuel and Saul, the real Samuel and Saul, are not in the same place. Chapter 29, we find Achish's generals reject David and his men. No, we don't want them coming with us to fight. We don't trust them. We don't think they'd have our back. So David and his men start their journey back to Ziklag, all right? And this is where the Philistine army continues to move to flank Saul's army and the valley, Jezreel Valley. Well, David's men has been away. Ziklag was attacked by the Amalekites. All their wives and their children were taken captive. That had ticked me off. Anyway, and then verse 6 says this of chapter 30. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. That's a good reason to be distressed. Because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. That's where we left off last week, okay? But it says this, and David strengthened or encouraged in the King James, encouraged himself in the Lord, and we talked about that. Anybody remember that besides me? Okay. And then we finished with Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, putting on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the schemes of the devil. Stop. We're going there today. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 7 through 15. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And he, that is God, answered, pursue, for you shall overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out, and 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook at Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook of Besor. And they found an Egyptian, in an open country or the field, and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they gave him water, and he drank. And they gave him a piece of cake, of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drank water for 3 days. And David said to him, to whom do you belong, or where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I felt sick 3 days ago. We had made raid against Negeb of the Sherethites, okay, against which belongs to Judah, and against the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, will you take me down to this band? And he said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this band. You may be seated. So, like you said, we ended last week with Ephesians telling us that we put on the whole armor of God because we battle an enemy that's not flesh and blood. So I want to take just a moment. It's not the theme of my message or the thrust of it, but just take a moment to talk to you. Notice here that the enemy took advantage of David while he was absent from home, Ziklag, okay? You see this principle right away, though, in Matthew, when he talked Matthew, the parable of the sower and the seed, where Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any parable. But while everyone was sleeping, this is a parable with the tares and the wheat, excuse me, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. While they were sleeping, the enemy will try to take advantage of you while you're sleeping, while you're not paying attention. It's called a surprise attack, but we shouldn't be surprised. The question is, you have to ask you this, how spiritually, how do we find ourselves asleep spiritually? Just think about that. I think that might be different for each one. This is why, though, when I start seeing someone, a regular family, regular members that come to church regularly, then I see them miss a couple times, and then they're starting to miss longer times. Watch out, the enemy will attack while you're sleeping. Well, how does he get us to that point? Okay, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only option. That's all he does. The only thing he uses is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, because that's all that's in the world. All right? How does he do it? He does it, one, by distraction, okay, and the cares of this world, cares of life came, and the seed died out. Okay, distraction. He comes by discouragement, not going into the details. You're getting discouraged in various ways. Disappointment. I remember going to Bible college, and I was there about 6 months, and boy, was I disappointed. I was disillusioned. And so that's often, he distracts us by getting us to look at people, and they always let us down, so we're disappointed, a bit disillusioned, and then we get discouraged. Okay, I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but that's how the enemy works. We see it with David's guys. All right? You're this great leader of ours, this great warrior, and while we're gone with you, they take off our wives and children. And they became bitter of soul and wanted to kill their own leader. So today I want to talk to you about how God brings victory out of defeat. Now, I want you to understand, for me, I'm not a motivational speaker. I don't usually speak on seven ways to your best life now. Okay? As I was preparing this message, I felt truly in my spirit that God intentionally have me preach this message in this way today. Now, I know that's always the case, but I just felt that distinct unction, okay? So please don't put me in the category of feel-good preachers, all right? But I feel led by the Lord distinctively, okay, determinedly to preach this message this morning. God brings victory through defeat. Now, the part we talked about last week is that you do have to. God does it by teaching you this, because God uses people, all right? That you encourage yourself. We talked about that, right? And we do that by recalling what God has done for us in the past. And we remind ourselves who God is. We just did that. God is truth. Therefore, he cannot lie. Therefore, he keeps his word. His word is the sustainer of all things that are. So you and I are. So God's a promise keeper. Did you follow that? Okay, that's an easy way to go. That's just an example of who he is. God is truth, and therefore, he will never leave you or forsake you. Okay? But then we find this, and this is where we hit ourselves at today. Okay? David sought God. He did not seek a change in his situation. He sought God. He inquired of the Lord. Let me give you a few scriptures that are listed up there. They're not written out. She starts Psalms, right? Call upon me when? In the day of trouble. I will deliver and you will honor me. Sure sounds like a promise to me. Romans 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. That's not a stutter. Thanksgiving, present your request to God. And James, is any one of you in trouble? She should pray. Seek God. You don't necessarily need to seek an answer to your situation. You don't necessarily. No, David gets an answer here, okay? But you can just simply seek God's face. So we ask ourselves, as David seeks God, the ephod's brought to him, and he asks God basically two questions, all right? Shall I chase him down? Shall I pursue? And if I do, will I be victorious? That's pretty much, I'm paraphrasing it, okay? God's answer, you will surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. King James says recover. I just like that better for me personally. I mean, rescue I think might be a better translation, but I like that idea, recover. Surely you will, God, that surely is in there for a purpose. It's affirming. I said it. Let me put it this way in the words of Yul Brynner. So let it be written, so let it be done. How many remember that? Yeah. So he asked God, not, give me my family back. Restore my city. Bring me back my stuff, God. No, God, shall I pursue them? That's sort of important. If I do, will I be victorious? It is important to note what David did not ask. God, why me? What did I do to deserve this? No, he might have done something what you and I can look at lying to the kings, probably, you know, to King Achash, probably not a good idea. And he doesn't ask who's responsible for it. Who let their guard down? No. What happened to the guard I left behind? That is not the point here. The point is, God, what do you want me to do now? You should be familiar with this. I have preached that before. Do you want me to? David first assumes God is wanting him to do something. Is this what you want me to do? If so, am I going to be victorious? Come on, think about that for a minute. Here's the other option. God, do you want me to pursue? Yes. But I might not win. David left that option open. Do you want me to pursue? We would automatically think pursue means win. But David says, do you want me to do this? And when I do this, will I be victorious? And God promises him that he will recover all. And David's, of course, response to that is, so David went. And Jesus' word is like this. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. The storms come along, wipe it out. Wise man puts his house upon the rock. Storms come. This is like the man who hears my word and does them. It's like the man who built his house upon the rock. David knew this. If God spoke, that meant I do. Not 20 questions later, I do. So this is basically what it comes down to. David trusted in God and his word. On Wednesday nights, man, that you know, this was the last week, but we were getting at some pretty practical things in there, and we have to ask ourselves our question as we look at the word of God. Do I trust? The reason we often don't is because we don't trust. We don't really believe God meant it when he said it. So there's a particular very large denomination in the United States that's considering, I'm saying it, compromising on a scriptural stance they've had since they've began. They've looked at culture and decided maybe it's time to have a woman lead the church. Did God really say? Did God really say? They got all kinds of excuses. Well, lead in a denomination is not a church. Well, then go to the IRS and say, we're not a church, and see what happens. They'll take your 501c3. You'll claim to be a church real quick. Okay? But do you really believe when God said that woman shouldn't teach and have authority of a man in the church that God really meant that? Do you really trust that? Well, but you don't understand. I got gifts, I got talent, says the lady. I understand that. I know. You might have a leader like Saul. Now what? God says, I establish all authority. Now what? David's going, no. I trust God and his word, therefore I act on his word. God said, pursue. God said, I'll be victorious. That's enough for me. Notice my little note up there, though. If you don't get an answer, wait. See, Saul didn't get an answer, and he didn't wait. And he went looking for another one. Abraham couldn't see. He got an answer and couldn't see the answer, so he didn't wait, and he got an Ishmael, and that's still a problem to this day. Just go to Gaza and find out. Okay. So we seek God, and then we respond to what God said. We do. That's one of the ways God moves us to victory in the midst of defeat. Next, don't get hung up by those who can't finish the fight with you. That gets discouraging when people leave. It gets very discouraging when you thought people were in it with you till the end, and along the way somewhere they go, man, I can't do it. Okay? Here we find that David went out with 600 men, but they come to this brook. By the time this is way up north. So by the time they get up there, about east of the Sea of Galilee, from all the way down at Ziklag, by the time they get there, 200 guys says, man, I'm too beat. The fight has exhausted me. I can't do it. But I thought you were in this with me, man. I thought you had my back to the end. You thought when he said, until death do us part, you thought he meant it. Yeah, that brings it home a little bit, doesn't it? Young person, child, And you thought mommy and daddy were always going to be there. But then the divorce came. That leaves scars for years. When people you think were in it to finish the fight with you say, I can't do it anymore. David didn't get hung up on that. He said, oh, man, we're okay, guys. Well, I guess we'll just stop here then. I guess this is for, I'm just going to accept this as the way it, no, that ain't what David does. See? Here, you got to recognize there's going to be setbacks even when you're in the will and plan of God. There will still be what we see as setbacks. You know, maybe you go down, God says, no. This many is too much. Let me cut you down to 200, to 300, whatever, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Or maybe nobody's a... Well, we'll come back to that. So David stayed with the plan that God had given him. And it goes on to say, these guys quit, but David pursued. Fine, I understand that. And some of you have heard me teach on the type of relationships that you have and recognize in different places at different times people got to leave you. So these guys left. Let the Lord provide you with the next step. Okay, they've left. That leaves me wanting. So that means maybe the right flank, the left flank, one of these places are going to be exposed when we fight. Well, maybe half those guys that left are the archers. Not the Archies, those of us old enough to remember that. The archers. Or maybe those are or the horsemen, the cavalry. Maybe that's who they are, but he recognizes that that's going to leave them. So, you know what, God? I'm leaving up to you to figure out how this is going to work with 200 left guys. Expect. God brings the victory out of defeat when we expect God to show up. There's a word for that, a good religious word for that. It's called faith. Not faith in my belief. Faith in the first part. God said it. God will do it. 200 could leave. It doesn't matter. I don't know what the next step, but I don't know how this is going to work out with 200 less guys. I don't know how this is going to work out. But God, you said it. I'm in. He's expecting God to do something. Maybe even if he's just walking across the creek, picking up some stones, he's expecting God to do something. And so I like to call often these come through divine appointments. Now they found an Egyptian in the field, in ASB. This Egyptian wasn't exactly a warrior. Oh, good. This guy is strong enough. He could take the other 200 guys' place. You know, he's an amazing shot with a bow. He's amazing horseman. This is a guy who's so weak because he hasn't ate food or water for 3 days. And it's my understanding, I'm not a medical person, but 3 days with wild water is about as far as you can go. Food's another story. And some of us probably should, but water. So they find a guy in the field. He's probably, I'm not standing up shouting, waving his arm, I'm over here. God brings victory out of defeat when we minister to others in our need. Okay, and they brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate and provided him water, and he drank and gave him. Then it describes what he gave him, and his spirits were revived. I want you to understand, as they know it right now, they find an Egyptian who's in physical need. They don't know who he is. They're not fighting Egyptians. All they know is he was a lost, hungry, thirsty guy. That's all they know when they help him. They just know, now look at this. It's my wife. Imagine one of these guys here. It's my wife. It's my children that the bad guys have, and you know what they do to wives and children, right? And they stop, they find a guy, and they take the time to feed him and give him water, enough time that he recovers. How much time does that take? I don't know. I don't imagine it happened in 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever seen anybody with dehydration, now today they put an IV in and you can come back relatively quickly. but just drinking the water and getting it absorbed back in your system, I'm not sure how long that takes. But one of the ways God brings victory in defeat is that we minister to others in our time of need. You need to understand this when you're trying to move from victory to defeat. God can use anyone or anything. Here they find an Egyptian who's weak and tired. That ain't what they're looking for. They need soldiers. They need mighty men. Not somebody that's obviously a slave by what David says. It means he doesn't have his own army. And he's weak and hungry. And David said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of the Amalekites. Stop. You took my wife's my kid's been taken by the Amalekites, and look what he says here. We made a raid on. And that included Ziklag. Yeah. Fed you nothing, stab you with the sword, maybe. I mean, nothing will get me more indignant. You hurt and take my kids? I found out I just fed you? I'm not sure I wish I would have. That's me. I'm sure you're all more spiritual than I am. Wait a minute. We're hunting down guys. We find somebody that needs some help, and we find out he's the enemy. Or at least a servant of the enemy. Think about who the enemy really is. And you help minister to a servant of the enemy. That might mean they actually belong to a different political party.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.